CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Commercial space, crowded. Low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, high Earth orbit, crowded in the 21st century. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. Private enterprise is going to fill orbital space with space stations. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is Voyager? What's it up to?
Voyager Space is a consortium of companies that is building one of the three commercial space stations being built in partnership with NASA. There's also a fourth, by the way, that's being built independent of the government entirely. But Voyager Space is building a space station called Starlab, and it's designed to actually be launched on a single launch. It's going to be about a third the size of the International Space Station, but it's a very big single module with a service module attached. This consortium, Voyager Space, includes a company in America called NanoRacks. It includes Northrop Grumman, and it includes the European company Airbus. And this is essentially a station that the Europeans are aiming to use a lot in going into space. Well, Voyager Space, because of the design of Starlab, they really need a very big rocket to launch it. Of course, that means they're talking to SpaceX, the Super Heavy Starship, and they have signed now a launch contract with Starship to use Super Heavy Starship to launch this space station, hopefully scheduled in the next few years. It all depends, of course, on SpaceX's schedule and getting Starship operational, but they now have signed on, and Starship now has two different space stations that are going to launch. The second one is the entirely private space station being put together by a company called VAST. This does not have a deal with NASA. It's building it on its own. And it has signed SpaceX to use Starship to get its space station in orbit. And its design is, it's a single module, but the module is eventually going to be multiple modules put together to create a circular rotating space station, the original dream. So anyway, it does appear that Musk's instincts were right when he came up with the idea of Starship Super Heavy. At the time he did it, I was wondering, well, who is his customers? He appears to have a lot of customers right now, John, so it's going to go places for sure.
And Bob, when I say crowded space, at this moment we have several companies that have ambitions to launch private space stations, correct? Several.
Yeah, we have four different stations under construction right now in the United States.
And the fate of ISS is still undetermined because it can be pulled apart.
Yeah, ISS is supposed to be decommissioned in 2030, and we don't know where the various modules will end up going if all of them will all be destroyed. Plus, you've got the Chinese station in orbit, you've got India saying it's going to build a station, and you've got Russia saying, though no one will believe them, that they're going to put a station up as well. So, yes, crowded space, and with the majority of the stations will be American private stations.
The news has been in corporate life that a court has rejected Elon Musk's ambition to be paid $55 billion for Tesla. However, I know where he can make it up, Bob. He's got a Starship to sell. What do you think for a price tag of $55 billion for a Starship?
That's a good question, John. This story from the Pentagon is interesting, but it's not really clear, but I'll give what we know. The Pentagon is negotiating with SpaceX the idea that in certain cases when it needs point-to-point transportation of large payloads from one point on Earth to another quickly, it will buy outright full ownership of SpaceX's Starship Super Heavy launch rocket. Now, we're not sure what they're buying. Are they buying an individual ship rocket, or are they buying the entire proceedings? They do this with airplanes for legal liability reasons in certain situations where the airline is going to be transporting material to maybe a dangerous wartime area and the liabilities are high. So the Pentagon takes over ownership for the launch, for the flight, and then gives it back afterward. It's a, you know, game, legal game. And they're talking to SpaceX about doing this because they're very much, SpaceX already has a contract with the military to do research on whether or not Starship can provide them very fast, large payload transport point to point. And so this is a legal aspect of this they're looking into right now.
Bob, pretty soon we're going to have a CIA Starship. Once they hear that the DOD has it, the agency will want its own. Just like Air America back in the Vietnam days. The CIA had its own airline. We go to Polaris Dawn. What is that, Bob?
Polariston is a private, is actually part of a program put together by billionaire Jarek Isaacman. And if you might remember Isaacman, Isaacman was the guy who paid for a Dragon manned mission, orbital mission. He carried four people, and they stayed in orbit for about 3 or 4 days. It was most, he did it to go to space. He's a jet pilot, former jet pilot. He's also a billionaire. And he also did it to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Well, after he did that flight, he signed the contract with SpaceX for three launches, two on a Dragon and a third on Starship. He's another customer of Starship. His next flight, his first flight in this program will be on the SpaceX capsule Resilience, and the plan is to do a spacewalk, entirely privately funded and flown spacewalk, the first ever. It's been delayed by a year plus because getting the spacesuit and the capsule prepared for such a mission has been complicated. They've got to design spacesuits for this. But they're getting ready, and there was an update, an interview with him that I read, and so I linked to it on Behind the Black. They seem to be getting close to getting those spacesuits together, as well as getting the capsule ready. Remember, when the capsule doesn't have an airlock, so when they open the hatch on Resilience, the entire spacecraft has to vent its air. So they have to make sure the spacecraft can function. They can make sure everybody in the crew is in a spacesuit that's safe, while at least one person goes out and does the spacewalk. They think they're going to be ready to do this by the end of the year. They're not certain yet. This technology is something that, it once developed, can be used for other things. Isaacman is hoping that the second mission in his program will be a mission to the Hubble Space Telescope to raise its orbit and possibly do some additional repairs. This hasn't been confirmed by NASA yet, but they've been studying it, and that's what he hopes to do.
Rocket Lab is a success, and now it's going to even more so with four commercial satellites. Do I say correctly, Bob, that SpaceX and Rocket Lab are the winners of commercial space right now?
Yes. In terms of the launch market, they are the two most successful, at the moment, commercial companies. They don't compete directly because Rocket Lab's rocket is much smaller than SpaceX's, so they launch different kinds of satellites. But Rocket Lab has been trying to make its rocket reusable like SpaceX's Falcon 9 and do it in a slightly different way. It splashes down with parachutes in the ocean and then is immediately recovered. And they've gotten close, they're beginning to get close to this. They launched four commercial satellites on a single launch earlier this week. They recovered the first stage. Previously, they've recovered first stages, and they have refurbished one engine, which they flew a second time. So they've proven that their engine can splash down in the ocean, be recovered quickly, and refly. They recovered the first stage on this launch last week, and I have a picture on Behind the Black as the ship is approaching the stage, floating in the ocean. And they recovered it. And so now the question is, can they refurbish that first stage and fly it again? And we're going to find out soon. But they are, yes, definitely a success, John.
One of the joys of your reporting, Bob, is to consider all the new jobs that never existed that have been created because of commercial space. I was just thinking, I'm a crane specialist on Chopstick. That would be a way of talking about SpaceX. Or I'm a crane specialist recovering Rocket Lab. You've got a photograph of them approaching. There's unimaginably number of jobs that are coming. I guess they'll be called blue-collar jobs or trade jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about all the jobs that all those space stations are going to produce. And they're all making profit because they're not just, they're all designed not just to service the governments. They've got many, many businesses that want to put stuff on those stations for research, for manufacturing, for science, for pharmaceuticals. There's money being made. So every one of those is going to produce jobs. And a lot of them will be, as you say, laborers, blue-collar workers, you know, like these guys working on the ships. Think about it with SpaceX. Every one of the first stages is brought back on a drone ship, but there's a whole Navy that SpaceX runs that is people working, you know, sea-going sailors and ship captains that have work. And the space industry, it's just incredible.
Bob, do they at Rocket Lab give cool names to their pickup ships and their platforms the way SpaceX does?
They have not yet, no. Not as far as I know. They've not mentioned any name for this ship. I think that what they do is they don't own the ship. They lease somebody's ship to do the job. And so if it's not their ship, they don't get to name it.
We go to India. This is private space in India. And the ambition here is to match SpaceX?
No, this is to match Blue Origin. A private company in India called Astroborn Aerospace is now developing its own suborbital manned capsule, as well as a commercial astronaut training facility targeting customers that are both the Earth-based tourists who want to, you know, be trained as an astronaut just for fun, as well as those who want to do a suborbital flight, like the New Shepard's vehicle that Blue Origin has. Their capsule would be dubbed Aerowak, and it'll seat six, and their training facility will be on a 4-acre site in India where, you know, you can go. It's a resort, but you can also get trained to do various astronaut tasks. They say they've obtained investment capital, but they say the money hasn't arrived yet. Now, this company might not happen, but it's not relevant because its existence illustrates that enthusiasm in India for private commercial space now that the Modi government has ended the monopoly on space activities that its agency once had. Now that ISRO, the agency, is no longer running everything, you've got companies popping up out of everywhere to do exactly what we see in the United States now, John.
And there's been an accident, an explosion in Shanghai. Doing what?
In China has mimicked commercial space. What they do is they allow individuals to form companies, to raise investment capital, to be independent, so-called independent private commercial rock contracts, and make profits. And so they kind of mimic a private industry. One of those companies is called Landspace. You can tell, by the way, that these are not real companies because all of them have the similar names. Landspace, X-Space, iSpace, and I can't, there's others. But Landspace has launched a rocket called Zook 2, and it's a methane-used rocket. Well, they were doing a tank-to-test failure of their Zook 3 rocket. It apparently exploded, injured three workers. Now, it was supposed to explode as a test of failure, but you shouldn't have three workers injured when such a thing happens. That explosion was noticed by a lot of nearby people whose windows shook and noise was loud. They, meanwhile, say that everything worked as planned, even though three workers were injured. Now, you explain this to me. How could everything be? You could be testing to failure, but if everything worked as planned, no one should have gotten hurt. Now, that's China. We don't really know what's going on here. This is one of the more successful pseudo companies in China. They have this methane rocket, orbital rocket, in operation. But tank failure like this with injuries is something more serious, John.
From the people who drop Long March 3 on villages.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.